First of all, I want to say that we're talking about our Proverbs series this summer. It's a bit of a shorter message because this is my story. And so we're going to be looking at Proverbs 4:23 this week, and I would encourage you to turn there, and we're going to unpack that a little bit. If you have a smart device, we always have our YouVersion Bible app there. They're very valuable follow-up questions because there was so much material for this message today that I wasn't able to fit it all in. And so there's more reading that you can do to follow that up and questions of how do I apply this to my everyday life, either on your own or, as Sheila was talking about, with a couple of close friends with whom you can develop trust and vulnerability. So this past week, I was at home. It would have been Wednesday night, and I woke up in the middle of the night, had a lot of stomach pain, felt very sick. Got up finally when I figured I couldn't tolerate it anymore, went to the bathroom, probably don't want to know all the details, sat in the toilet, woke up on the floor, passed out a couple of times. I'm saying this now so nobody has to ask me after the fact if my marriage relationship is okay, and that's why I have a black eye. So I hit something at some point, and it's not... It's not super serious. I guess it could have been. When you're 20, you're invulnerable. You can do anything you want. And then as time goes by, you're less invulnerable than you think you are. And so for me, it's not a really serious issue. I have, in contrast to a great many people my age, I don't have high blood pressure. I have very low blood pressure. So simple solution, and I've known this for a while, drink a lot, eat salt. And it's just something that I just kind of let lapse from time to time because you just kind of get complacent. That is true of all of us when it comes to our physical health, but it's also true of us when it comes to other parts of our lives. It was quite a few years ago, probably getting close to 8 or 9 years ago, we had very, very close friends at the church we were pretty tight with, and then all of a sudden they let us know, you know what, we're not happy at the church anymore, we're leaving. And it's like, kind of like, well, you can't hold on to people. We don't own anybody at Crossens Church. And so we just kind of said, okay, well, if that's going to work for you. And the following Tuesday, as a staff, we always get together and we would have, you know, staff meeting and we'd pray together. And I was going into prayer with the staff, and I really hope they didn't notice, but I was feeling really grumpy. And I try to hide that because, you know, I don't want to make everybody suffer for how I feel. But I was getting more and more uptight and more anxious and more just angry. And I had an appointment with a friend immediately after staff meeting, and I said, you know, I'm just really ticked off and I don't know why. And he said, well, you had those friends that just left the church. And I said, you know, I think that's it. So I had convinced myself that it didn't bother me, but it was really happening on the inside. And so with that, I want to look at Proverbs 4:23. It says this: guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart above all else. In Hebrew culture, the word heart didn't just refer to this physical organ that keeps your blood pumping, hopefully at adequate blood pressure. But it refers to kind of, you know, we kind of look at at the heart in our culture as, you know, the seat of love. You know, I give you my heart and all of that. And it kind of comes from that Hebrew culture, but it means more than that. It almost means like everything that's going on in the inside, mentally, emotionally. In the late 1800s, I believe it was Sigmund Freud, for the first time in Western culture, talked about how our behavior can be determined by things we don't even know are going on, the subconscious. And over time, he's been kind of, you know, ridiculed for some of the extreme examples that he would use of our influences and all of that. And so his influence has been dismissed. And as Christians, we have tended to look at him as not a great voice of reason. But he was very influential. But the other thing that we haven't recognized is that he was echoing what is hinted at many times in Scripture. That there's something that is going on underneath at a very deep level, the human heart, the insides, that controls and governs our actions, even when we don't realize it. There are things that are going on that we are not aware of. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the human heart is deceitful above all things. Who can understand it? And so in our culture today, you're told, follow your heart. Well, if your heart is deceitful above all things, you don't have a hope of getting anywhere good. Now, I'm sure there are people here that are going, yeah, that, I understand how that might be true for somebody else, but it's not really true for me. You know, I've got a pretty good sense of who I am and where I am, and I got a pretty good control of my decisions. I'll tell you a story. When I was in Bible college, one night, Michelle had a friend over, and they were going to be exercising in the living room. We had a computer in the bedroom, so you guys go do your thing. I don't want to have any part of that. I'm going to go work on a paper. And I had a paper that was due in a couple of weeks, and I was very intent to overcome my natural bent of procrastination and start working on it early. And procrastination is something that I've always had an issue with. I mean, I'll deal with that someday. At some point, my mentality is, why put off till tomorrow what you could just as easily put off till the day after tomorrow? Okay, so I'm working on a paper, and it was probably 2 or 3 hours, and in that 2 or 3 hours, I played a lot of Risk on my computer. Now, I had every intention of writing my paper, and something else grabbed my intention. Now, a computer game of Risk is not a conscious being. It's not jumping up and yelling, going, play me, play me. There's something in me that is conflicted with me. There's something in me that's underneath that would rather do something else in spite of my conscious decision. There's a subconscious decision to do something else. And it really, it's an interesting question when you think about it, because I'm sure every one of you at some time have had an intention to do one thing and you end up doing something else. Well, how can that be? Who's the one making the decisions? Aren't you making the decisions? So we have something very deep going on in us that sometimes controls us against our own conscious decisions. The human heart. God created mankind to be fruitful. The idea is prosperous and generating good things. That was God's original intention. God creates mankind, creates a garden. Go and be fruitful. And that was his intention. And over time, because humanity turned his, her, its back on God, that fruitfulness became kind of cut off. And so God implemented a plan. This is the big story, the big narrative of Scripture. God implemented a plan to restore right relationship with him and restore that fruitfulness. That's his intention. That's the big story. And so there was an agreement, a covenant that God made with his chosen people to be the ones who would be the light for the world, who would demonstrate what fruitfulness was, and everybody would see this and go, yes, that's the right way to live. Let's all be God followers. The problem is that heart issue that is true in all humanity was also true in God's chosen people. There's a corruption there. There's a heart issue. And just as a tree grows fruit, is fruitful, the tree is impeded in its growing of fruit if there's a problem with the root. And so with God's people, their heart issue was at the root. You have a bad root, you get bad fruit. And so God's solution required its own solution. And then this is the story of why Jesus came. Jesus came to be the solution for the human heart, to restore that fruitfulness that God created us for. Sometimes we see bad fruit in our life. Sometimes you're driving and your behavior changes. Okay, that's not caused by something external, it's caused by something internal. There's a root that develops the fruit. Sometimes fruit has seed in it, because that's what fruit does, and it reproduces itself. We grow new roots that are not the roots that should be there in our heart. And so we have all kinds of problems. I believe God gives us each very deep desires that are healthy and legitimate and aim for fruitfulness, but those desires are perverted and twisted by a few things. They're damaged by deep personal wounds that are at the very heart. And this is what the whole issue with, you know, people going to counseling is about, because there are things that happen over and over in our lives, usually at very young ages, that set us in a certain direction that is not healthy, and it's not necessarily your fault. There's a deep wound that distorts the root and creates bad fruit. There's also, the world presents all kinds of distortions of those legitimate desires that God has. All kinds of distortions. And we can get sucked into pursuing things that are damaging and unhealthy or even just distractions from what God anticipates or intends for us. And then finally, our own fallen nature. This is what Jeremiah talked about when he said, the heart is deceitful above all things. We think we're fine, but we're not. Because outside of God, outside of the path that was offered through Jesus' death and resurrection, that whole death and resurrection thing is about renewal. It's not about correction. It's not about taking something that's kind of good and misdirected and pointing in the right direction. It's about replacement. That the heart, with its distorted roots, gets actually replaced by a new heart. In the Old Testament, when they were under that old covenant and they just, that old agreement, they couldn't make it work. God said, one day I'm going to step in and give you a new heart. You have a heart that's hard and unyielding, and I'm going to replace it with a heart of flesh. And that was that was the promise of the new agreement that Jesus brought. We have the ability through Jesus to have our hearts replaced with something fresh and something new, and to be fruitful once again, because our roots become healthy. How do we do that? Hebrews 4:12 talks about God's word. It's a passage in scripture. You know, I'm just going to look it up. I was going to do it by heart, but by heart, I'm afraid of getting it wrong, and I want to keep it in this translation too. The word of God. So, the original language there means the words that God speaks, okay? It's not the written words, it's the word that God speaks. The word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. Here we go, listen to this. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Our own heart deceives us. We have no idea what our subconscious is doing most of the time. But God's words to us expose our innermost desires, and they provide life to us. They provide health where there is sickness, life where there is death. And God speaks to us in all kinds of ways, but one of the ways that he speaks to us the clearest and the easiest way, I think, to begin to recognize his voice is through the words of Scripture. Because this is not just the written word. Through that written word, God speaks his spoken word. And so when you expose yourself to that, you begin to understand God's intention, God's health, God's healing, and your heart becomes renewed. It starts with surrender. I really appreciate the songs that that Wade chose this morning. But that idea of everything and nothing less, I give it all to you, because that's the only way to find that health, that healing, that new life, where we ask God to replace our old heart, give us a new heart. There is a danger of sitting in our room or dining room or whatever, or coffee shop, all by yourself and reading and go, let me figure this out for myself. Because on our own, we can be deceived. We need one another to be accountable. God speaks to us through Scripture. God speaks to us in community. This is another reason why we get together with people in small groups, because life is meant to be done together, and God speaks among us. He speaks to us, but he speaks among us. And when we do this together, when we're accountable to one another in humility, then we don't do things like start cults and go to Waco, Texas, and live on communes and things like that. Okay, that happens when there's no humility, there's no listening to one another. We allow God to speak to us, in us, through us, among us, and we allow him to bring his life to us. I do want to say, as I say every week, and I mentioned this last week, every week we talk about what is it, how do you become a follower of Jesus? How do you step into this new life? And it's as simple as ABC. And if you're tired of me saying this, well, too bad. Because I'm not saying it for you if you've heard it 100 times. Although I am, because I want you to begin to do this to the people around you that don't know Jesus. This is a tool for you to share the message of Jesus with somebody else. And if you're not a follower of Jesus today and you want to know that new life, it's as simple as ABC. A means acknowledge or admit. Admit your need for God. I can't do this on my own. B stands for believe. Put your trust in him that he has that new life for you. He has a new heart for you. and see, commit your life to him. Whatever we hold on our own, whatever we refuse to surrender to him, we're just allowing it to perpetuate that same unhealthy root that produces unhealthy fruit. But over time, we surrender more and more to him, and he replaces the unhealthy heart with the heart of flesh, the new heart, the heart of life that brings and breathes life into us. Normally, we deal with text messages, but, you know, in the summer, we don't get a lot because the message is really short. Okay, here's a sales pitch from someone. The Cleansing Stream Seminar helps to expose the bad roots to provide freedom, change, and restoration, and experience abundant life in God's love. And if you have, so I'll explain that, okay, because if you haven't been here long, you have no idea what that is. But we have a program that we offer periodically across this church called Cleansing Stream. And we're probably going to run it in the fall. Soon. So watch for that. It's coming soon. So if there are issues in your life that you just can't get over and you don't know how to surrender that to God, watch for Cleansing Stream coming up. Sign up for that. It'll be good. Let's all stand. We're going to close the service in prayer this morning. When the service is done, we make Theater One a prayer room. The focus for prayer this morning is about having our hearts renewed. You cannot renew your own heart. But in God may be calling you this morning to have your heart renewed by him. Spend that time in prayer. Don't walk away and miss that opportunity to have him renew your heart. If you have kids in the kids program, they're going to run an extra 15 minutes to allow that time for you. And Wade's going to provide an atmosphere of worship, because it's in that we become more sensitive to God's presence and what he's doing. So don't walk away from that prayer opportunity. If you're not staying in here to pray, if you want to have those conversations that Sheila was talking about, we just ask you to do that in the lobby. We always challenge people. Find one person you've never met before and have a meaningful conversation with them. Just don't do it in here. Do it out there and stick around for a while. Father, I thank you so much that you love us, that you don't wait for us to fix ourselves before you accept us, but you accept us as we are. I thank you that you love us so much that there's nothing that we can do to make you love us more. You love us completely. But that you also love us so much that you want more for us than we are experiencing right now. For those of us here who don't know you, I ask, Lord, that you would open their spiritual eyes to see the possibility of life with you. That all the things that they may have counted on that are not working out, all the things that they've been trusting that are not producing the kind of fruit they want, the kind of life that has peace and rest and fruitfulness, that you would show them what you have to offer. Father, I pray that you would open each one of our spiritual eyes to your truth. May we not continue to be deceived by our own hearts. Father, point out in each one of us a root that needs to be pulled out and replaced with your life. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.